WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It's been a tough weekend for tens of millions of Americans as deadly storms ripped through the Midwest and Southeast. At least 36 people have been killed. WIAT-TV reporter Avery Boyce is in the town of Gordo in central Alabama.
First responders were making their way down County Road 16 in Gordo, where a possible tornado destroyed these chicken farms. Gordo Police Chief Johnny Stevenson says their first priority was making sure everyone was okay.
We started getting some calls about people trapped in houses, so that naturally that's where we went first.
Then first responders began clearing roads.
We do have a few roads that are blocked off by law enforcement to keep the sightseers out because they're still working in the area.
Large oak trees, power lines, and other debris were mangled for miles.
A total of 6 people died in 3 counties in neighboring Mississippi. Pope Francis has now spent a 5th week in Gemelli Hospital in Rome. CBS's Chris Livesay says some young Catholics have been trying to boost the Pope's spirits as he fights double pneumonia.
Holding yellow and white balloons, the colors of the Vatican flag, the children hoped for a glimpse of the pontiff. Though he did not appear at the window of his 10th floor hospital suite, he acknowledged their presence in his traditional Sunday blessing.
The Trump administration has flown hundreds of migrants from the U.S. to Central America, even though a federal judge temporarily barred the deportations. The BBC's Maura Alderson.
More than 200 alleged Venezuelan gang members have arrived in El Salvador on deportation flights from the U.S., hours after an American judge ordered the planes to turn around. They've been transferred to a high-security prison built by President Nayib Bukele.
The deportation flights were in the air when the judge issued his ruling last night. In a city where 1 in 5 residents are of Irish descent, the St. Patrick's Day parade is a very big deal.
Some people at the parade are duly impressed.
We don't come here often, but like when we do, we make the best of it.
Boston's a great town. Love to be here. A million people.
And this is more like a quiet Tuesday afternoon to others.
Well, I'm from New Orleans, so this is nothing to me.
But it's a Boston tradition like no other. Around 1 million people turn up every time, and this time is no different. It's a raucous crowd that comes from all over. I met people from as far away as Italy and plenty of locals.
All right, I'm so freaking excited. All right.
We're so excited right now.
There are more police here than last year, and the parade started earlier this year, but that doesn't seem to have changed the vibe much.
Happy St. Patty's Day!
Kyle Schaffel for CBS News, Boston.
March Madness brackets will be released today in the women's NCAA tournament. USC, UCLA, and South Carolina among the potential number one seeds, of course. South Carolina won the national title last year after an undefeated season. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. As new federal policies and proposed funding cuts spark confusion and chaos, Wisconsinites are looking to voice their concerns to their elected officials. And sometimes they're getting resistance, Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
$2 trillion in spending cuts for programs that serve low-income families, seniors, kids, and people with disabilities are being proposed in Congress. Every Republican lawmaker from Wisconsin in the U.S. House of Representatives voted for the budget resolution. Though it isn't final, more than 1 million Wisconsinites could be affected. Megan Rowe with Opportunity Wisconsin says folks are having a tough time trying to share their views when members of Congress won't schedule meetings.
The campaign arm of House Republicans are encouraging members to not hold these meetings, which I think tells you just how much energy there is around these issues.
Last week, Representative Derek Van Orden abruptly canceled a scheduled event because too many constituents were planning to join. Opportunity Wisconsin has launched a website where people can petition their members of Congress to hold town meetings. Nearly 300,000 Wisconsinites are covered by Medicaid and CHIP, and about 71,000 receive SNAP benefits in the districts of GOP Congressman Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile.
Those are real numbers about real Wisconsin families that rely on these programs in order to make ends meet. And so if House Republicans and those in the Senate go along with this plan, that can mean some very devastating impacts for Wisconsin workers and families.
The two chambers will negotiate a final version, which would then go to the White House for approval. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows around 27. Mostly cloudy skies to start your Monday, then sunshine in the afternoon, highs around 60 and breezy out of the southwest. For Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 33. On Tuesday, partly sunny and upper 50s.
Right now, it's 37.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat Harvey K will discuss the capitulation by Senate Democrats on the continuing resolution. Should AOC primary Chuck Schumer? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. We go now to Mino and the Mayor out of Green Bay. Jim and John welcome on Terry Barr for another edition of Slice of Wisconsin, this time focusing on St. Patrick's Day-inspired celebrations taking place in New Dublin, Wisconsin, known the rest of the year as New London.
Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Young journalists are phenomenal to talk to. Great having them on from the Press Times of Tomorrow Night. There's some great young talent this
year. I'm sitting in here listening to Tori talk, and you can hear the passion in her voice. And even Janelle, it's like, I don't know if I had that kind of passion when I was...
I almost got, because I went into journalism at first before I got into whatever, but I remember the first couple of times I had to go and cover like meetings at night, and I remember saying to myself, I mean, I just doodled. I was supposed to be taking, it's like, I ain't doing this. I know one thing, I'll go work in the mines before I do this for a living again. Covering those meetings and hardcore news stuff, that's a grind.
But they enjoy it.
I know, you got to enjoy it, or it's
a grind.
Even
during the break, they don't say, oh, this really, they're like, this is awesome. I love what I'm doing.
No, that's great.
Then you get Tarl, who's taking, you know, a little bit more risk and opening up some opportunities we didn't have here.
I wish Terry Barr would open up some opportunities for us. She hasn't done anything for us in so long.
Oh, she brings us all the info, though.
Yeah, I know, but, oh, is she on? Oh, I'm sorry.
I can hear you.
Hi, Terry!
Be nice.
How are you? It's nice to talk to you.
You guys too. And I don't know about you, but I loved listening to the young folks too. Honestly, it reminds me of me in a weird way, because journalism is the only thing I ever wanted to do. And I started working at a radio station in Shawano, Wisconsin when I was in high school.
That's awesome. Isn't that fun when you isn't that almost like magical the first time you stepped into a studio at that age and you heard yourself on the air, or you heard yourself through your headphones? And that's when I'll be honest with you.
Just seeing these people that you were listening to on the radio, your eyes are just popping out of your head because you're so excited.
The magic of radio, you can be on the radio and you will have people form these beautiful, wonderful images.
Theater of the mind. Everything it is. Yep.
Yes.
It is. Absolutely. Here, I brought you some theater of the mind today for a little slice of Wisconsin. What do you say? We are talking about St. Patrick's Day. Now, I know this is a little early, but there is one city in Wisconsin that goes all out, and it has been doing this exact same thing.
New London.
For, I think it's
they
more than
it
40
Dublin.
Years. Yeah, I talked to Ryan Lanning. Ryan is with the Shamrock Club. How appropriate. They organized this entire thing that has now gone from one day to an entire week. Here is what he tells me about why St. Patrick's Day is so important to New London. And this is a slice of Wisconsin, of course. Then listen to learn a little something extra right at the end. Todd, take it away.
It started over 40 years ago, and it's just been a tradition ever since that on the Monday of our St. Patrick's Week, we always have Leprechaun Day, and the leprechauns are responsible for changing the population signs symbolically from New London to New Dublin, and then they visit various schools and nursing homes, and basically everywhere they go and visit everybody, get them excited and pumped up for the week, and start getting things ready.
How excited are people sort of leading up to what they know you'll do in the exchange of the signs, but then also knowing you go to schools and all these other visits that the leprechauns make? I love that.
Extremely excited. You know, we bring smiles more than anything, and we like to enlighten our community. That's part of what we're about. And truthfully, I think everybody looks forward to seeing us, seeing the green suits and all the mischief and shenanigans we like to pull. There will be plenty of them to be had on Monday, that's for sure. It's just a great time for everybody.
You sign off on your email with a word. What is that?
Salancha. Salancha, and that's Gaelic for health. Usually if you're in an Irish pub and you order a drink, the bartender, you could toast your neighbor to say the word salancha, and that's how you would toast your drink. It just means to health.
Let's say it again. Salancha.
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 I've never heard that word before, but I'm going to use it.
Let's go.
I am too. And every email he and I exchanged, he would sign off with that word. So I finally had to ask him, what does that even mean? And I love that it is to good health. How perfect.
That's awesome. What are you doing for St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, my goodness. Honestly, I've been so focused on New London becoming New Dublin, I haven't really had a chance to think about it. One other thing, though, about New London, they've been under road construction. And you know how that goes. A lot of business ends up driving around. And so they are so excited. All the roads are open. So that's their slogan this year.
Nice.
All roads open to New Dublin so everybody can get back downtown and have a great time. I got to tell you, too, when I was talking to Ryan, he's already well into the spirit. He had a little green cap on. He had a little green bow tie on. Oh, he's just adorable. And we had such a fun conversation.
And Johnny and I are going to St. Brendan's for some luncha.
Are we?
No, get it?
No.
Some luncha.
Some luncha. Okay. Thanks, Dad.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Forget it. Forget it.
Dad, you dropped me off right up here at the corner. I meet my friends at the downtown mall.
All right.
Terry, did you know that Monday, St. Patrick's Day, is actually Mino's birthday?
Oh, you've got to be kidding. No wonder he asked what I'm doing on Monday. Yeah,
because I suppose we
should be celebrating John Mino's birthday. Or are you O Mino on Monday?
Yes, this Monday I am. Absolutely.
John O Mino.
John O Mino. I'm telling you.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. You turned 50 once, so going to enjoy it. I'll tell you that right now. Hey, Terry, I got to tell you, I tell you this every week. I don't care. I'm going to keep telling you that. Whenever I hear excerpts from your show, they're really interesting stories you have, like this one, but just from around the state. Give that Slice of Wisconsin some pub.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Slice of Wisconsin, every 2 weeks we cut up a new piece and share it with you. And Todd and I have been talking, and what we've decided to do is do the reveal on Mino and the Mayor every other Wednesday.
Awesome.
So you guys will get it first, your listeners, and then we'll share it across the rest of the network and on the website. You can always find the story and all the audio there after Mino and the Mayor. How about that?
I also want to give you a little plug on this, because you've done a wonderful job with it. Is Women's History Month, and you've put together a ton of stories that are airing right now across the network. Mm-hmm. And the stories of the women in Wisconsin, the very first journalist, right? There's a story about the very first journalist in Northeast Wisconsin.
Yes.
So thank you for doing that, because those are the stories that need to be told.
There is one coming. I wrote it for Brittany Merlot to voice for all of us. It is about the first war correspondent, who was a woman from Milwaukee. She ends up learning how to parachute and parachutes in with American troops to Vietnam. And she's the first journalist to do that, again, a female. Sadly, though, she ends up being the first war correspondent to die when she stepped on a landmine while on assignment. But, I mean, what an incredible story.
Can you back up a little bit on that one, Terry? Okay, she's from Wisconsin, went to Vietnam, and was killed in Vietnam.
But parachuted in, which is really cool.
I've never heard this story before.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. I mean, I had to dig deep for some of these stories because I didn't want it to be, you know, the typical stories maybe everybody's heard right. about women who have made history. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for women maybe we didn't know about, current and past. And I ran across her name is Vicki Chappelle. And, yeah, it was the 1950s, 1960s. And when she learned to parachute, the Pentagon asked her to go with American troops, the first journalist of anyone to do this. And she parachuted in. She was on assignment and then, yeah, stepped on a landmine, ends up being the first war journalist to die.
Wow.
So, I mean,
that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
So, did you talk to her family or just given a synopsis of her career?
Yeah, sadly, these are only 1 minute stories.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I do my best in writing these to make them interesting, but to give like the full synopsis of what made her so special. And I think that I wrote it well, and Brittany will tell it well. So, it's a good teamwork effort. Okay, awesome. And these have been so fascinating to research.
We have, and I say this with respect, we have some great rock and roll radio chicks that work for us.
No
Terry
question.
Barr, Brittany Merlot, Lisa Hale. Yeah. I mean, I'll put these three up against anybody.
Yeah. Tammy.
Yeah.
It's great.
Hey, we started with the New London, New Dublin. What else is going on? I know Monday's the big, they changed
are
the signs.
Are you having a parade downtown here?
They are. Well, Green Bay, it's on the trail, though. Do they have an actual parade down there as well?
In New London?
Yeah.
Oh, you bet. It caps off the week. So every single day, it's almost like homecoming That's week right, at yeah. high school. Every single day, they have a different theme and how to dress. And the entire town goes all out. You know, today, wear your green. Tomorrow, it's whatever day. And that goes through the entire week, every single day. There's a party every night. Oh, my goodness. And there's Gaelic bands. There's Irish jigs. There's all kinds of dances they teach. And on Saturday is the culmination of it all with a huge parade. They said they probably have 200, I guess what they call it, not floats, but units in the St. Patrick's Day parade at the end of their Irish festival.
We got to get it called the Omino Parade for
I
next
think so
year.
Too.
What do you think?
You could be the
what do they call the parade?
Grand Marshal.
Grand Marshal.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Johnny,
would be perfect, especially on a St. Patrick's Day.
Johnny would cut down the number of units because he'd kick out all the politicians.
True.
You know, bring it down to 150.
I was doing Lisa Malick's show a couple of years ago, and they were doing live. And I want to say the guy started going up to change and like fell off the ladder, where I think the green beer might have been flowing. Oh, Terry Barr, great stuff. Give everybody a chance. Where can they see or where can they listen to this?
Slice of Wisconsin starts every other week, every Wednesday, so like today, right here on Mino and the Mayor, and then it will be across the entire network of the Civic Media radio stations and on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Hey, if you have any ideas, let me know. I am open to all.
Awesome, Terry. That's great stuff. I just in thinking in my mind here, the time you've been on, there's some women in history of Wisconsin. I think that makes pretty good topics.
Oh, you bring it. Send me the ideas or give them to Todd. Poor Todd.
He's our clearinghouse. All right. Well, thank you so much, Terry Barr. You do a great job. Best of luck to you. Can't wait to listen to the rest of your stories.
Awesome. See you in 2 weeks.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. We're going to send a quick break. Back right after this.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is squat about that? The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear a segment from the Earl Ingram Show. This week, Earl welcomed on Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor, who expressed concerns about a troubling decline in participation among black Democratic voters, pointing out that turnout has dropped significantly since 2012 and remained low through 2016 and beyond, primarily due to candidates' inability to gain their trust.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Texas, that same number. My guess is former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So, Mandela, as you've now kind of left the political arena for now, and for the first time in, wow, how long, man?
Well, I can't say that I'm fully left, you know.
I know, but you're not holding an office, and you're not running for
not holding an office for sure. Well, remember, I did have a little brief period, you know, between 2017 and 19, between the assembly and lieutenant governor.
Right.
But you know, and that's the thing too. I'm comfortable enough, you know, not being in office, and that's one thing that happens too often is there seems to be sometimes a dependency on the title, and people feel as if they can't be active or be productive or be helpful or be a part of the conversation without that title, which is absolutely, you know, not true. And having a chance right now to still work on the things that have been important to me for so long, whether it's the clean energy work, whether it's the democracy work, getting people out to vote, creating jobs, like this is the work I have a chance to do and be a part of. And it's exciting for me. I get to work with the same partners in organized labor, get to work with the same partners, even in elected office all across the state. And sometimes I'm not gonna lie, right? You know, there are parts I certainly do miss, but you know, I'd be lying if I said I was fully removed. I'm still here and I'm gonna be active. I'm gonna maintain a presence, especially as this moment calls for it like not never before.
Do you feel unshackled?
No, not yet.
Well, and so the reason I asked the question is you see congressmen and senators who've been there for 35, 40 years, and that's who they are. And so somewhere along the line, you have to lose yourself in that. And the person that you were prior to being engaged, your thoughts, man, on somebody being in, you know, public office. We hear people say it for 35, 40 years. And then it almost appears as though they've got to hold on to it and sometimes maybe lose themselves in it or forget why they're there in the first place.
So I'll say the most important part about that, it's not necessarily the time, right? Like it is the effectiveness. If a person has been in office, whether it's the same office or multiple offices over the span of time, if they're actually putting in the work, if they are actually getting things done, if they are actually showing up and maintaining a presence, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, right? Like, and I do support term limits for sure. I think there should be term limits, but you know, as it stands, like, I'm not going to say that a person who's been there for some time and is still effective just has to go based on the fact they haven't been there, unless there were term limits in place to be all for it.
Right.
Because I know some people who have been in office for very little amount of time and do nothing in the short time that they've had. You don't hear from them on the most critical issues, like people who are freshly elected, who should have the best ideas, who should be, you know, the most emboldened to go out there and, you know, make us think about what's going on and have some sort of presence or pushback to what's going on. And you don't see that. Like, I know a lot of inactive young elected officials, which is the most heartbreaking and depressing.
I'm glad you said that, man, because I see it myself, and they see it as a career path. And, you know, in a representative government, that's a cancer. Because the people can't be represented, and the people can only speak through the voices of the people they elect.
It's a lack of bravery, man. It's a lack of bravery.
Let's go to Tom from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Yeah, listen, you think things were bad when George Bush was in there and they were going after Iraq and stuff. That makes it look like Sunday school. I wanted to mention the money in politics thing you guys were talking about a few minutes ago. I ran for state assembly in 2008. And back then, you could get public financing for a small percentage of your campaign if you decided not to take corporate money. And I did that, and I was one of the few people. And the people running the local Democratic Party, the state party, were really mad at me for doing that, and that I wouldn't take the big money. And then, of course, with Act 10 and all that, Walker threw that all away. But if we had complete public financing of all elections and reasonable numbers, this whole thing would just be so different. But even the Dems don't want to do that. We also had Healthy Wisconsin in 2008 that I ran on. We were told by the Dems not to run on it. But the state Senate, which was Dem-controlled, had passed it. It was made with Kathleen Vianout and Urban Bach and a few other people and a bunch of labor people and university people, business people, got together and figured out a plan. Turns out it was way better than Obamacare. It would have let families in a rural area like I live in have $6,000 more a year to spend in town. Well, if every family around here spent $6,000 more in town, can you imagine what that would do every year to the economy?
Hey.
And also make people healthy? And anyway, those are things the Dems decided not to do. The people who decided not to do that are in charge of the Democratic
Progressive Caucus. Okay, so what did the Republicans do?
Oh, they're trying to chop the heck out of it.
I know, but see, Tom, that's the part of this that I don't understand. We can continue to hammer away what the Democrats didn't do, and so then people turn around and vote for Republicans, and it's
or not vote.
Yeah, or not vote, and it's a total wipeout.
Oh, I'm not saying we're not going to vote Democratic if we have to, you know, that's what the choice is. But you're asking what the Democrats did wrong. They gave up on the things that would have made a huge difference for the regular people. And it's because they went corporate in the whatever.
Thank you very much for the call. Yeah. Do you know what he's talking about, Mandela? They went corporate.
No, I wasn't around at that time.
I'm talking about people even say that now. That the Democrats went corporate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Wisconsin.
Or also that the Democrats spent more time, they were more focused on urban America than they were on rural America. And as a person who lives in urban America, I don't know where they got that from. Because if you go through our neighborhoods and communities, I don't see where the Democrats have focused on our community. Mandela, do you?
So what I'll say to that point is I've certainly heard it before, and I guess it goes back to the whole point is, you know, as a Democrat, as somebody who is going to continue to be one, whether I'm in office again or not, you know, if that's the way people are feeling, if that is the response, then we should rethink strategy. We have to, you know, figure out what our approach is to meet the needs of everybody across the state. And it's not my first time.
All right, hold the thought. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come right to you.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. CBS News Brief. Six people have been killed in severe storms that ripped through Mississippi over the weekend. Milton Goza was in his house in Issaquena County when a tornado came through.
Very bad. And then you go in a house, you got water, and it's just a miracle. A miracle.
He's 88 years old and ailing, but he's hanging in there.
Dozens of children, many from war-torn regions, gathered outside Rome's Gemelli Hospital to show their support for Pope Francis as he marked his fifth Sunday in treatment for double pneumonia.
CBS's Chris Livesay in Rome. Boston's St. Patrick's Day Parade impressed a family visiting from Ireland.
Everybody is absolutely amazing here. It's like being in Ireland, like. So we're really very excited.
The huge parade wound through South Boston, a center of Irish American heritage, in a city where more than one in every five people are of Irish descent. New York City will hold its St. Patrick's Day parade tomorrow. CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin falls short. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers average 80 points a game. Today, only 53.
Second free throw for Wolf is good. 59-53 Michigan, and that will be your final score here in Indianapolis. Michigan wins the Big Ten Tournament Championship.
Matt LePay on the Badgers Radio Network. Wisconsin's John Tanjay scored only 9 points, mostly from the free throw line. NBA, after beating the Pacers, the Bucks host the Thunder tonight. Doc Rivers asked, is Giannis being overlooked as a candidate for MVP this season?
I was talking to one of the better coaches in the league, and he brought it up. He said, how the hell is no one talking about Giannis? And he's like, he is doing different stuff. His assists keep going up. He's playing better. I mean, I don't know what the guy has to do. I'm not going to campaign. I'm not going to do that. But he is a forgotten guy with what he's doing for a basketball team.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows around 27. Mostly cloudy skies to start your Monday, then sunshine in the afternoon, highs around 60 and breezy out of the southwest. For Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 33. On Tuesday, partly sunny and upper 50s.
It's 39 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. More Trump administration mass layoffs at CISA have experts raising concerns over U.S. readiness for cyber attacks on election infrastructure and federal agency networks. An additional 100 in-house and contracted cyber specialists were reportedly terminated in March. The terminations raised the number of layoffs at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency to an estimated 300, though new CISA leadership has denied recent layoffs. As we reported in February, a team assisting state election officials in improving and hardening election systems was laid off. VoteBeat reported March 11th that CISA's new leadership informed state election officials that it had suspended operations and funding for the Election Infrastructure Information Sharing and Analysis Center. In addition, a McCarthy-like effort is underway to purge CISA staffers who ran 2020 efforts to combat foreign and domestic disinformation in social media, some concocted by the Trump campaign and its allies. Reports in cybersecurity journals say that the latest layoffs involve so-called red teams, which pressure test the security of government networks. CBS News quoted one cybersecurity expert let go in February as saying about U.S. networks, "We're being targeted daily, hourly, and every single minute." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We've got a whole show dedicated to the holiday. We're going to be talking about Irish heritage. We've got live Irish music. We'll explain what the heck curling is. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We go now to a segment of Matt Nair on Air. And this week, Jane and Greg welcomed on once again Randy Manner, retired Army Major General with a wealth of expertise in foreign affairs, to talk about the newest developments in the Trump White House and how his unstable relationships with countries who used to be solid allies are affecting business at home, abroad, and in the military.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, which is really glitchy today. I don't know what's going on with what used to be Twitter. But anyway, I wanted to mention this. Civic Media, if you are looking for a job, and you are looking for something challenging, Civic Media has a number of job openings.
Yes.
We are looking for producers like Calvin and Greg.
I'm a producer.
You are a producer also. We are looking for sales reps. We're looking for all kinds of folks.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a job and you've always thought about, radio might be fun.
Yeah.
Check it out at civicmedia.us/careers. civicmedia.us/careers. There are at least, I want to say, 10 job openings we have up there. It lists all of the duties, all of the responsibilities, everything like that. Check it out, civicmedia.us/careers, and good luck. Delighted to be joined by our next guest once again. He is a retired Major General from the United States Army. Randy Manner is here. Good morning, Randy. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Absolutely, Jane. Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg.
I wish there were less to talk about. I really do, because when the last time I emailed you, I said, let's live in less interesting times. That would be great.
Yes. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it be? That would be just to be bored every day. Let's start with that horrible Oval Office meeting between Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend and Volodymyr Zelensky. And I saw a commenter over the weekend say, President Zelensky expected to have a meeting in the Oval Office. Instead, he walked into the Kremlin.
That's actually a very good way to put it. It's just shocking how everything is turned up on end, that we're now allied with Russia, who has never, ever been reliable as a partner, ever. Even during World War II, Winston Churchill and Roosevelt basically were watching him at every turn, and only because they were trying to get rid of Hitler did they ally, should we say. But it's just shocking that we're not standing up for the concepts of freedom for our friends.
We used to be the standard bearers for democracies around the world. We took it as part of our mission to encourage democracy's growth around the world, to try to make things better. And apparently we've just abandoned all that, and Vladimir's great, and now we're, like, as you said, we are more closely aligned with Russia now. If you watch any Russian media, they are delighted. They are delighted by what is coming out of the White House now.
Absolutely. They cannot believe how lucky they are. And of course, the sad thing is that the rest of the free world, the way that we define free world, more free, is united against us. Whether it's Europe or whether it's Japan, obviously even China, and of course, Canada. I have some friends in Canada that are extremely concerned with the insane rhetoric and economic policies on again, off again. I mean, no offense, I could do a better job of leading this country by putting out decision options on a dartboard and throwing them blindfolded and then just repeat, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And since the last time we've spoken, the narrative that Volodymyr Zelensky is the aggressor and the invader and the starter of wars and a dictator has become the popular rhetoric. And just this morning I saw, you brought up Canada, who might become the new Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, has said flat out in his acceptance speech, we can no longer trust America. That's it.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I want to tell you, I wish we had the presidential equivalent of that guy. That guy is smart, versed, schooled, understands economic policy and the procedure and moving different levers up and down to be able to safeguard and do the very best for the people of Canada. And no offense to your listeners, we are going to suck. Everybody is going to find food costs going up at least 10% this year, at least 10%. You heard even the MAGA commentator saying, stop talking about the price of eggs.
Yeah.
I remember that was the exact mantra back in October, November.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about how it impacts the average American, about food prices and about job opportunities and our farmers who are going to be hit left and right by all of these, by the world saying, screw America, we are not buying your crap because your president is an idiot and turning everything into this, we're doing a tariff. Oh, we're not doing a tariff. Oh, we have a Republican senator that complained about the tariffs because of somebody from some business. Oh, let's turn those tariffs off. Oh, wait, no, never mind. Let's put them back on again. Oh, wait, let's double down. It is absolute insanity. My 3-year-old grandson would do a better job of running this country.
Well, and the justifications by certain members of the media that this is normal, that this is a normal way to run a country. This is a normal way to deal with the economy, changing your mind from day to day. And as we mentioned when we first came on the air, because all the stock market gains now from November 5th have essentially been wiped out, there is nothing farmers and businesses hate more than uncertainty. They have to plan ahead.
That's right. Absolutely. I deal with a lot of corporations and trying to get their boards and their C-suite officers to be able to focus on what are the challenges and the opportunities under the new administration, because there are challenges and there are opportunities. The reality is it changes almost every day. And that basically means whether it's supply chain costs, whether it has to do with employee turnover, whether it has to do with how do they present themselves to their customers, where are they? All of these things are up in the air, and businesses do not like that. So that's not business friendly whatsoever. Americans want government to be out of their lives, and I'm going to be clear about this. We want clean water. We want clean air. We want to be safe from international terrorism. We want our borders to be secure. What we don't want is for our food costs to go up by way more than 10%. And I'm being conservative in that estimate, by the way.
And we also don't want all of the people who check our food to make sure it's safe get fired. That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, you think. Yeah, mm-hmm. True. So, back to the situation that was mentioned relative to Ukraine, I find it just astounding. Okay, we're cutting off all intel to the Ukrainians. So now they are basically blind because we had a partnership that they could count on us for so many years when Russia invaded them to start. And now it is literally they're on their own. The Europeans are trying desperately to be able to fill in the gap. At the same time, they don't have the intelligence network that we do, meaning the United States military. And it's just extremely sad. It's going to not go well over there, is the best way to put it.
Well, and essentially by us ending this sharing of intelligence, we're leaving Ukraine wide open for Putin and Russia, right?
That's absolutely right.
And then moving further as they see fit.
They will move the borders over. They will pause and consolidate. They will purge the local people. And then they will keep on putting pressure to continue to move toward the West. Same thing. I mean, they have a history of doing this, and they will continue to do this.
It's almost, it's like we didn't learn our lesson the first time.
Any other time. Yeah. Yeah. I was the first general officer to go into Russia after they invaded Georgia way back in 2000, I think it was 9. And the reason I was permitted to go by the president at the time was because we had a treaty with Russia to be able to inspect their nuclear weapons and for them to inspect ours and to be able to fly over their country in a U.S. aircraft to be able to take pictures. And the same thing, we would host them to come over and to verify by flying a Russian aircraft over our facilities. In other words, we both watched each other and we verified sitting in the same aircraft and being on the ground. I was outside of Moscow in a Russian missile base. And I'm telling you, those days were, we trust but verify.
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. Now we're trusting without verifying crap. And that's going to not end well for the United States in any part of a military confrontation.
If you're just joining us, retired Major General Randy Manner is our guest, and we're talking about the situation with Ukraine. Now the U.S. has pulled all of its intelligence sharing, and this does not bode well for the Ukrainian people. It also, Randy, just does not bode well for us, as we're no longer a reliable ally.
No.
Right?
No, we are, quite frankly, not only are we unreliable, we are, quite frankly, the enemy. We are the enemy of the Canadians. The anger and frustration from our neighbors to the north is sadly well-deserved. It's just appalling what we are doing to our friends, all because we have a schoolyard bully running our country. If the president was in a local school and he was 10 years old, his parents would be called every single day with the activities that he would be doing. It would not be tolerated. And I appeal to all the parents that are out there. Would you allow your child to act like this? The answer is no, you would not. And you would not tolerate another child bullying your own in that same fashion. This is inexcusable behavior, not commensurate with that which we expect of our senior elected leaders to hold, or any elected leaders for that matter.
I completely agree with you, Randy, 100%. I just feel like now is the day where I see so many videos of children and adults celebrating their own terrible behavior. So I feel like they're almost it's a reflection of who's in charge of this thing of saying, well, we do whatever we want because we're American. You don't like it. You can just get out. That's their whole thing. Just get out. And that's where we live now. And that's the unfortunate thing. And I don't disagree with you, Randy. I do think your 3-year-old grandkid could run it better.
I think folks are missing as well, Randy, the economic impacts that things like this, maybe you're not seeing it today, but we're going to see it. And if the United States, which Donald Trump, I believe, still wants to withdraw from NATO, one of the reasons America has had so many decades of prosperity is largely due to NATO policing the rest of the world and all of us so that supply chains can run and we can make trade agreements and all of those things, right?
Right. As I mentioned to you before, because of these tariffs and the uncertainty of the tariffs on again, off again, this is not only causing direct harm to American businesses, it's ending relationships, business relationships with other countries who say, I can't count on the US. I've got to find a secondary supply chain to take care of my manufacturing. And once they find those supply chains, they're not coming back.
Right.
And because you want a reliable partner. Just think about it in your local community. If someone's providing you with produce or with food to your store or with parts, you want to know that it's not going to be, oh, we're charging you 25% more today. Oh, actually, we don't have any for you because we don't like you. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to find this.
That's... They're eventually going to stop trusting us, and they're eventually going to just we're going to be dried up, and we can't provide for each other. We need to have those import export relationships.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and we had talked to we have the head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union on once a month now, and the last time we did this trade war and these tariffs under the first Trump administration, the soybean market was permanently altered because of that. Mm-hmm. Because countries that used to import our soybeans decided, as you said, we can't trust you, we can't rely on you, we're going to go to Brazil.
Exactly. I think when this is all very evidenced, by the way, very sad that the Republican National Committee put out the word to all of its national leaders to say, stop doing in-person town halls mm-hmm. because of those nasty Democrats are breaking them up. Well, let me just be clear about this. The people have the right to speak respectfully and according to the rules. The Republicans are basically saying, screw you guys. We don't want to hear from anybody.
We're going to continue our conversation with Randy Manner, retired Major General for the United States Army. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up the Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we'll hear a segment from Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. This week, the Schwabinator welcomed on Jeff Blankenship, a film director. They talk about reality shows and his recent short film, The Last Rung on the Ladder, as well as where to see it.
Welcome back. We are doing the Madison thing tonight, folks. It's great to be in Madison tonight. I know we have a lot of great listeners here. Sherry from Horicon says, love Todd Michaels. Who doesn't, Sherry? You won't want to miss that. Todd is so much fun to talk to about paranormal stuff. It's just great. And we'll let you know what night that is. Chris Casper also says, saw her in Mineral Point and she was amazing. Conrad, help.
The girl from 27 Dresses?
Katherine Heigl? Is that who Chris was talking about?
I'll have to go to the Google.
He saw her in Mineral Point. She could have been there on a shopping spree. You know, those stores in L.A. with all their variety, that gets old.
Yeah.
Mineral Point. They'll send you cab fare to shop there, right? Mineral Point is a beautiful town. They've got that. Have you been there? That little opera house?
Yep.
We've
done film festivals there.
Yeah. I was in a movie years ago called Aquarians, and they had a showing there, and the filmmaker invited me to go there. And I was like, when I did stand up, I used to drive through Mineral Point from Madison, like to Iowa.
Yep.
And I was like, this is such a gorgeous town. And then when I was there for that film festival, that opera house is like the most charming, beautiful little building. So, love Mineral Point. That's awesome. Jeff Blankenship is my guest. We're talking about his film, The Last Rung on the Ladder, that he directed, produced by Kirk Krause, a mutual friend of ours and a guy who's been on the show several times. Jeff, I assume there's a mental health aspect to The Last Rung on the Ladder. I still have not seen it.
Oh, well, you have to see it.
Okay.
Sure. Oh, yeah, it's incredible.
Where can I see it?
It'll be down here in Madison Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know. I hope that Max will show it again at the festival.
Mental health. Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be in Green Bay this weekend.
Oh, right. At the Green Bay Film Festival. Yep. Yeah. That is a neat little film festival. I have not been there yet, but I've talked to the festival director and some people who've had films there, and it sounds like just a really great little festival.
So we'll be showing on Saturday.
Will you be there?
I will be there.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yep. I think, do you like Q&As after films? They're fun, aren't they?
I love them.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm doing right now to you.
Right.
And you seem like you really love talking about your stuff, and that's so great.
I do.
Yeah.
And when people ask questions, that means they're paying attention, and it's touched them at some level, and they're really interested. I really enjoy that.
We've got some comments on the stream. Craig Anthony Knitt, who I assume you know.
I know Craig
well.
It's
a very tight-knit film community here in Wisconsin, and I love that you guys all know each other. I'm curious, which of Jeff's films is his favorite?
Ooh, Well, this one, pretty much.
Okay.
There's so many parts of this film. All the films I've done, I really enjoyed. This one has a real special meaning, not only for the cause that Max is promoting, but the way the cast and crew came together. It was a flawless shoot. We shot in five cities, seven days. Cast and crew, we had children on set. We had safety issues. Everything went off without a hitch.
Nice.
It was just an incredible experience. What we accomplished, overcame, and delivered. It was just an incredible experience.
That's so great. Jeremy Thompson, also known as JB. I call him the guy behind the guy.
Yeah.
He says, nice work. Jeff, great explanation. I agree.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, JB. And then Craig also says, also is Last Rung on the Ladder playing in Green Bay on Saturday. He's leading you there. He knows.
Yeah, Craig knows me.
He wants you. He's helping you, right?
Yeah. Craig and I go way back. Actually, I met Kurt Krause through the Wildwood Festival.
Oh, yeah.
That he, Craig and Jason used to run.
That's excellent.
And Craig is the cousin of a guy I went to high school with.
Wow. I know. I've met more people since I've been doing this show that have some connection to Craig Kinnitt.
Yeah.
Terry Barr, who works here at Civic Media, and all these people that he's like the most popular guy in the world, apparently.
He's out there. Yeah.
I was looking at your IMDb page, Jeff. You've done a ton of shorts. Like, you're a very prolific filmmaker.
Yeah.
Have you done a feature?
No. We are talking about possibly doing this as a feature.
Okay.
We're investigating if those rights are attainable.
Like, it's perfect for that.
It would be awesome. I mean,
so let me ask you this. As a filmmaker, why do you always go for, have you had a desire to do a feature, or is it just easier to shoot shorts?
Both.
Both. Okay.
The scaling up from a short to a feature is significant.
Sure.
It's not linear. So if Last Ride on the Ladder is 25 minutes. Making it 50 minutes or 65 minutes is not twice the effort. It's probably 10 times the effort.
How about that? Wow.
The budget alone, every day, every shooting day, you're feeding people, the expenses become challenging. And then how many shooting days can you fit if people are working other jobs? And
yeah,
it becomes a challenge.
Have you ever had that where people just go, I can't, I have to work? Well, I would imagine that would be tough for people that, you know,
with this film, it was flawless.
Yeah.
We had shooting days in the middle of the week, and we never had anybody drop. It was perfect. But that is challenging. Yes.
Will you, let's say it plays at this festival again, or if it doesn't, will you put it on YouTube or Vimeo? Will you guys find a way for people to see it?
We have some restrictions about how it can be used.
Oh, because it's Stephen King.
Right.
That's maybe the downside, is trying to get it seen.
Correct. Okay. So it's kind of funny. You want it seen. They want it seen. So primarily festival. I don't know ultimately what the rule becomes.
Okay.
The program has been ended, so some of those restrictions might be lifted. Not sure.
Great stuff. Hey, real quick, when is the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival this year?
I believe it's either the first or second weekend in May. And I didn't have that in front of me, but it's right. It's in the beginning of May.
At Flicks Brew House here in Madison. Yep. Check it out. It focuses on mental health. It's just a great, I just love it. It's the only thing I've ever heard of like that. So,
and every film that's shown is an inspiration to the cause. It's really strong.
Outstanding. Yeah. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Luck with the film. And good luck at the festival. That's how film festivals are great. Thank you also to Frank Roach. And help me counter Tim Sowers, friend Tim Sowers. Yep. Thank you for all your texts. How could I forget Tim? We'll be back tomorrow night in shortened form. Have a great night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about, you're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a person with MS and autism and is an advocate for Medicare and Medicaid will join us. Going to be a very interesting conversation. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. At least 36 people have died in the U.S. in storms that have been ripping through large swaths of the country since Friday. The cleanup is underway in Paulding County, west of Atlanta.
Cliff White says those late-night storms were like nothing he'd ever experienced.
And I could feel the house going up and down, not side to side, up and down.
A massive oak tree toppled over next to his house, clipping the gutters, but he says the wind and rain were so loud he didn't hear it. A nearby neighbor says she was very lucky.
All the trees that are behind my house are broken in half, and huge oak trees pulled out of the roots from the ground, and they're laid into the woods away from my house.
Officials here say there were no major injuries in the storms. Jonathan O'Brien for CBS News, Paulding County, Georgia.
In Oklahoma, wildfires have destroyed at least 200 homes. KOTV reporter Craig Day is in central Oklahoma.
Marty and Sandra Snyder looked for